Know that it's after Easter, but I want to talk to you all tonight about a term that I made up or whatever, but the term is the Judas factor. The Judas factor. I meant to do a whole study on this during Easter, but who knows why I didn't. Judas Iscariot is the most well-known betrayer in history. It was Judas who betrayed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as each of us understand and know. But he's certainly not the only betrayer of Christ, but definitely the most notorious. You know that even the lost people know about Judas Iscariot. And it's amazing in dealing with so many lost over the years of their reaction to how Christians don't respect the Christ that we say we serve. Well, let's go on with this. Okay, in order for Judas to even stoop down to such a depth as to betray his Savior and friend, think about this. He's betraying his Savior and his friend that he's been with for 3 years. But in order to do that, he had to allow Satan to factor into his human character the most vile of sins and the deadliest of human flaws. It's the Judas factor. Now, in order for you or I to do what Judas did, you or I would have to allow Satan to factor into us his vileness. Satan cannot, nor does he have the power, as you all know, he does not have the power to touch our new nature, but he does have the power to mess with our old nature. We got that? Okay, so Satan is continually tempting the human race to allow the Judas factor to be a part of our individual life. So as we're looking at this, we need to understand that as God looks on and God protects us and we are signed, we are sealed, and it's as though we've already been delivered. But you and I have a mission here on planet Earth that we're to use the gifts that God has given us to take the word to the lost world. When to talk about the lost and dying, folks, the lost are dying. And they'll be dying continually unless you or I are able to follow God's direction in touching lives. Every one of us have a purpose, but every purpose that you and I have is someone else out there. They are purposefully wanting to hear the truth, and they don't know what the truth is. You and I are to purposefully doing it with knowledge, knowing we're doing it, not out of habit or any of that foolishness, but to do it because we know this is the right thing to do. Now, God said, I'll put you together. And you all know this. How many people, that have you, Gene shared the other night, you know, with the young girl and all in line and paying for the milkshake. How many times have you met people out in society and you were glad you met them? I mean, they blessed your heart. Now, see, that's not an accident. Nor is it an accident for God to touch me or to touch you to be at a certain place at a certain time. That's not an accident. That's the power of God. That's the direction that God is leading us. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go there. Why am I going there? Why are you going there? Because God is getting ready to touch that individual, getting ready to convict them through the Holy Spirit. And that individual is looking for someone. God blessed you and blessed me to be that someone. We are somebody else's, the lost world someone that they're waiting on. Now, if their someone, which is us, doesn't show up, will that keep them from going to heaven? No. Why? You or I, we're called by God to witness, called by God to share the gospel. But if you and I refuse to share that gospel, God will make sure that somebody else will do it. Many Christians use that knowledge of knowing, well, that's the way it works, as a reason to be lazy, as a reason to just not witness. And again, I'm sorry. I know that I'm beating this to death. But the Calvinist movement in our community frightens me to death. Because when you tell people that you were picked, and we start this study this Sunday night, don't forget that. I'm gonna first deal with elect, and we're gonna see where election comes from, what it truly means scripturally. But when you or I, let's say that we've decided that, yeah, we know that we do not have free will, and that's the main teaching of Calvinism. No human being has the free will to accept Christ or reject Christ. No human being does. So if I feel that way, why would I work for the Lord? Why pray? Why am I praying? Why do I preach? That's what I don't understand with these people. Then if everybody's predestined, why are you preaching? Who are you? Why does Jesus tell us? I'll wait till Sunday night and get on that. All right, I'm sorry. Woo. Here it is. Judas allowed Satan to factor into his human character. Remember where I was. The human character is where Satan's going to attack. The most vile of sins and the deadliest of human flaws. Here's the most vile of sin and the deadliest of human flaws. Unrestrained, fierce, selfish pride. Unrestrained, fierce, selfish pride. That is the Judas factor. That is the purpose that Satan wants to place in our. Does not pride come? Must have it there. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. When these people stand in your presence and they have to tell you that they're great intellects, that's proof that they're not. That's proof that they're not. It's just like somebody coming up to you and saying, now, let me convince you that I'm a Christian. That ain't going to work.
What's a straight intellect?
What's the what, hon? The strict intellect is all up here. And believe it, there's a lot of people in the churches that have Christ up here, but they don't have him in their spiritual heart. So the great intellect can, well, let's do it this way. If God loves me like he says he loves me, then I should be able to relate to him with my intellect. And it's an intellectual type of a doctrine. Well, do you know that doesn't make any sense? I don't know how in the world they can even teach or preach concerning the virgin birth. I know that don't make sense. That's not what a relationship with Christ is about. Not what I have up here or you have up here, but it's what we have within our spiritual heart. Okay. You know, I said that to somebody, and you know what they wanted to know? What, your heart is just a pump. Gosh, they had no concept of what I was talking about.
If the only way that we can come into the kingdom of God is having being like a child.
Yes.
They're not intellectual.
No, they're not. And it's got to be simple. Yeah. When they preach it, if you can't bring people to Christ as a child unless the preacher preaches messages that even a child can understand, right? Here's the key also. It is not the preacher. It is the Holy Spirit in the preacher, the Holy Spirit in the individual, and the Holy Spirit connects the Word of God that the preacher's proclaiming. They take that Word and apply it to their spiritual being, said, I believe. Preacher don't have anything to do with it. You and I cannot convince someone, again, who Christ hasn't convicted. A friend of mine that after I got called into the ministry, and he, one day he says, as he sees me reading the Bible, I wished I could have what you have. And I said, no, you don't, Bob. He said, what do you mean, Larry? I wished I had that feeling. And I said, no, you don't. All you have to do is accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, just like I did, and you will have it. I can't do that. There's too many restrictions. He wealthy individual, owns all sorts of land in E-Town. We're friends and all of that, but he still, ever so often, though, he says, yeah, I heard you on the radio, you know, all that. So you sow the seed and you let it go. God handles it from there. Judas should have listened to God's warnings proclaimed through his prophets. Listen to this, Jeremiah 49:16. What kind of prophet was Jeremiah known as? Why was he a weeping prophet?
Word burned up like fire in his gut.
She's quoting scripture now. And he was a weeping prophet because he had no converts. Whether y'all knew this about Jeremiah or not, but I'm going to tell you something. All his whole life of preaching, not one convert. Jeremiah had no converts. Yeah, no wonder he's crying, yes. And you know, and it's a nation that he loves and God loves. And Jeremiah, that's when Jeremiah said, I've stopped this. I'll not preach the word of God anymore. And then that's when he looked to heaven, to God, and said, as I was had made up within my heart to stop preaching your word, but I could not because you're stronger than me. And your word burned like fire inside my heart until I had to get it out. Whew! That'll make you dry fast, son. Okay. Your fierceness has deceived you. Jeremiah 49:16 is what I'm reading. Your fierceness has deceived you. The pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rocks, if you all will look and read Obadiah, you go to Joshua, turn left at Joshua, and there's 21 verses or 22 of the book of Obadiah. Obadiah is saying the very same things here. Obadiah is saying the very same things as the warning against the Edomites. Though you dwell in the clefts and the rocks and say, who can get to me? God said, I'm coming. That's my paraphrase. I'll get to you. Pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. See, nobody could attack them because of the power up high. They could see them coming. Though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I'll bring you down from there, says the Lord. Think of that. Okay. Once again, the Judas factor, unrestrained, fierce, selfish pride. Had Judas heeded God's warnings, he could have been saved from God's wrath. There's your salvation. You got it? Had Judas heeded God's warning, he could have been saved from God's wrath. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift, here's my son, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Gosh. You know, Jesus was pretty stern here, wasn't he? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But Jesus, why did you come if I was predestined to go to heaven anyway? I can't let it go. I'm sorry, because it's a danger and a threat to the, it's heresy, folks. It's pure heresy. Okay. The wrath of God abides on him. The Christians, y'all remember this in case you've forgotten, a Christian will never see the wrath of God upon himself or herself. You can never, ever receive the wrath of God. And those who will receive the wrath of God, it will be so powerful and vile for us to look upon such wrath that we would have to turn our heads away. And that wrath comes because of sin. The individual is given a choice. Choose life or choose death. And Jesus said many times, you've made your choice. As we look at the unrestrained fear, selfish pride that betrayed the heart of Judas Iscariot, here's what I wanted us to consider tonight. Let's consider our own condition. Have we allowed the Judas factor to become the dominating influence within our own lives? Remember, God has warned us time and again not to fall prey to the will of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. Remember, when you're looking at the New Testament, about every statement made in the New Testament is talking to the church. You got it? Paul nailed the church right and left. People said, I don't know how anybody could become a Christian the way he yelled at Corinth and all of that. I said, those were the Christians. He wasn't saying that to the lost because they didn't know any better. Be sober, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Okay, you know who your adversary is? He's the devil. If you don't believe in a devil, you have an adversary that you don't believe in that's whipping your, giving you a beating. You know, I got to go back in the Marine Corps pretty soon the way it's getting anymore. I've had to deal with criminals the last couple of days, so y'all forgive me. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When he comes looking, he's coming to devour. He's got, meaning he's going to saturate us inside himself. You'll see that in Jesus' statement in a moment. Meaning that he is going to devour us. He will devour us, and we will represent Satan. How's that? Got it? Listen to it here in a moment. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And most of the forms are beautiful. Or appealing. Tempting. Gosh, everything's tempting. Did you ever notice that? The Judas factor is recognized by Christ. You got it? It's recognized by Christ. John 13:18. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And Jesus knew him, called him as the 12. John 6:70-71, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you? Here's the good choosing part. The 12, and one of you is a devil. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Jesus never minced words. One of you is a devil. Okay, people say there's only one devil. Let's do it this way. When Jesus is talking to them, when you and I talk to someone, they will say, do you have a belief? I say, yeah, I am a Christian. I'm not Christ, but I am a Christian. A devil is the spirit of Satan. Now, you have met, and I have met people that you would think that they were Satan's firstborn. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus knew it. Here's something interesting. He knew it before he chose Judas as one of the 12. He knew who Judas was. Think about the love there. Think about how Christ would let him see every situation, every miracle, and see the greatness of who God is through Christ. And he still rejected matter of fact, I'll read this to you in a moment. Jesus says something about Judas Iscariot that he says about nobody in the scripture here in a second. The Judas factor too often becomes the leader of the pack, right? Satan takes over an individual through one of his demons in Luke 22, 47 through 48. And while he was still speaking, this is Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was still talking, Jesus is talking through love to his disciples. Behold a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them. He was the leader of the pack, Judas, the one that sat right at the left hand of Jesus Christ that Jesus had given so many opportunities to. So many opportunities. He went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. I've seen more people betrayed through pretended acts of love than God. Well, see, one thing about the ones that we know are our enemy, when we're watching them, we know they're our enemy, right? It's not those that you got to watch. It's the ones that talk about how important you are within their life. And when somebody's important in your life, you do not stab them, folks. That's just not the proper way of doing it. Good evening, Brother John. Glad you had a safe trip, son.
Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome. Drew near to him and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Okay, that's why I said earlier, let us pay attention and make sure that Satan does not use our physical or human condition to once again betray God, betray our Savior Jesus, where we say we love him, and yet we betray him with a kiss. One of the greatest ways of all the things that you can do, let me tell you the one thing don't do. And I'm not saying do everything else either. One thing you don't do, that if you do, if you've done everything else, okay. But don't do this. Do not ever, ever give a false witness of Scripture. Do not ever, and with your intention being vile, misuse or misquote God's word. Don't do that. Don't be a heretic. Do not teach the opposite doctrine that Jesus teaches. Frightening. How many people have fallen and haven't gotten up yet? Because they allowed the human condition to control the spiritual. Folks, our spiritual condition should be controlling our physical. And in a lot of people, it does. You know, you say, well, did they come straight out of the pits of hell? A person who is meaner than hell comes straight out of the pits of hell. Yes. Right? Listen, if a person is set on killing a bunch of people, they're going to kill a bunch of people. Now, I'll have to admit, 14 that he stabbed with this knife. And many people say, well, good gracious, you know, couldn't they run from a knife? I've been stabbed 4 times. And I can tell you real quick, once you've been stabbed once, you can't run away from the other 3 stabbings either. And then you get wiser with age, and then you can outrun any knife. They pull out a knife. You could have a machine gun. They pull out a knife. I'll run. But you all may not know this stat, but I'll give you this one. You too, Bob. Last year, more people were killed with hammers than with rifles. They were murdered with hammers more than with rifles. It is the intent of the heart, folks. When you decide to kill someone, how many, gosh, you know, we had another suicide this week. And when I see that and know what is going on, that is Satan taking over the human condition. Believe me, I've never met a sane person that killed themselves. You can't be of your right mind, kill yourself. Yeah, got to be. Yes.
Desire to live. When you were talking about misusing Scripture, were you talking about using Scripture for your own personal gain?
Period.
I don't see how a Christian could do that.
I didn't say they were Christians. No, I didn't say they were Christians. Folk, listen, remember this. A theologian is an individual that studies God. That's what theologians are, individuals. We study God. The majority, I won't say majority, I don't know what the percentage is. Many theologians have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They write the books and don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They are intellects in the Bible. Individuals can be so, a lot of people can quote Scripture, and a lot of people can misquote Scripture, but it doesn't mean that they believe the Scripture they're quoting. A lot of people in the pulpit, folks do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I don't care how many degrees they have. No one is exempt from the overwhelming power of the Judas factor. Not even Jesus' own family. You would think that Jesus' own family would be exempt. Mark 3:20-21. Then Jesus entered a house. And again, a crowd gathered. Remember, this is one where they lowered the dude through the roof and all, dude. So that he and his disciples, they were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind. His family comes out there believing he's out of his mind. Now you got to really watch this close, because you will have some denominations that who have deified Mary. They would have trouble that Mary actually came there to take her son home because she thought he is crazy. Let's look at Mark 3:31-35. Let me go on with this. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." And Jesus looked around at them and said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Folks, it is not our biological blood that makes us compatible or brothers and sisters. It is our spiritual blood that makes us compatible as brothers and sisters. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, sealed for eternity. Many will have relatives, biological relatives, that'll never see heaven. And it's not for the lack of you wanting them to be. Do you know people can harden their heart to the point that it doesn't matter what is going on with them? They're under conviction. When you harden your heart against the Holy Spirit to a point, and I believe you will find the Scripture says, "And my spirit will not abide with them forever," with man forever. Won't keep trying to straighten us out. The Judas factor, this is the last one, guarantees condemnation by God and horrifying self-destruction. That's why we've got to watch it, make sure we don't get into that. Matthew 27:1-5. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. They always had to plot. See, there was nothing to put him to death for, so they plotted. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, "Pay attention to this. Many people says he repented accepting him as Christ, as Lord." Never called Jesus Lord. Never in the 3 years he walked with Jesus did he call him Lord. Remember what he called him?
Rabbi.
A Rabboni teacher. And here's what he said. "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." That's not repentance, folks. "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." He wasn't looking spiritual. He was looking as to the culture of the time. To never would you bear false witness. Again, it was against anything a Jew would do. Never to bear false witness. Oh, matter of fact, I think you'll see that God wrote that in stone for us. Never bear false witness. But he said, "I betrayed innocent blood." Think of that. Not even yet does he say, "I betrayed the Son of God." No, never. There was no repentance. And he was given every opportunity. It really drives me crazy again when all these people start defending Judas. Well, you know, that was said. He had no choice. It said that they, and then I've seen the movies or television shows concerning him where he looked pitiful, thinking he was innocent. Wasn't anything innocent about Judas, folks. Nothing. If there had been, Jesus would have never made the last statement I'll read in John 19:11. Let me finish Matthew 27. "Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple." Oh, no. "I have sinned betraying." And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. People use people all the time. "Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." That is a pretty destructive end, is what I would think. But now listen to John 19:11. This is the only time you'll see Jesus say this about someone. Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me," speaking in his trials to Pontius Pilate, "unless it had been given you from above." God was allowing it to happen. "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Jesus charged Judas with having a greater sin than the ones who beat him and killed him because he betrayed the Son of God, not because he betrayed innocent blood. Because Judas knew that Jesus wasn't guilty of anything they were saying, and that was innocent, and yet he betrayed him.